Hey, Justin, you want to watch a movie?
Yeah, sure. What you got?
What do you think about,
No, I saw it last week.
Oh, what about,
Not again.
Oh. How about this?
Wait. You want me to watch what?
So, what did you think of The 12 Chairs?
It's Mel Brooks. What's not to love?
Exactly. What's not to love? for those of you joining us for the first time, welcome. Hey, you smell terrific. And for those of you who join us for the first time, smelling so terrific as you do, you don't know what's going on. Huh. So, what Justin and I do is we suggest movies that the other hasn't seen, we watch it, then we talk about it.
Yep. That's pretty much it.
I'm going to say, it's a very simple concept.
It is, but it's fun.
Seinfeld should steal it. All right. For this week, we watched Mel Brooks' version of the Russian story, The 12 Chairs. Originally written by Ilfim Petrov in like 1928. And it is about an impoverished aristocrat from Imperial Russia. Now it's Soviet Russia.
Yep.
Who is told on the deathbed of his mother-in-law,
mm-hmm.
you know, his mother-in-law's deathbed, he's told that she sewed the family jewels, not those, you pervert.
I know.
The diamonds, the emeralds, the pearls, the gold, into the cushions of one of the dining room chairs.
Of which there were 12.
And so, first she does confession with the priest, played by Dom DeLuise, and then she tells her son-in-law, and then she dies. And this kicks off his desire to not be this impoverished former noble, but to restore some of his wealth.
Yep.
And so, the chase is on, you know, or the search, the hunt?
The hunt.
The hunt is on. And along the way, he goes back to his ancestral home, the one that he left when the revolution came through, and finds his former servant still there, Tikhon, played by Mel Brooks, and finds out that the chairs have been taken, except for one in the pantry. And he goes to get it, and the priest runs out with it. Along with this is this young, beautiful con man.
Yes.
Played by Frank Langella. I only knew Frank Langella from, like, Dave and Masters of the Universe. I didn't know he was such a looker. Wow, no wonder he was a leading man.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, did you ever go back and watch some of Marlon Brando's early stuff?
No.
See,
but I know what you mean.
But it's like, If you only know Brando from Godfather or from Apocalypse Now,
yeah,
look at his early stuff and you find out why he was a leading man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, all that to say, Ostap Bender, who is Frank Langella's character, and I'm going to butcher this name, but it's Ippolit Vorobyanov, I think is how it was pronounced.
Yes, they said it very quickly. So.
Yes. Played by Ron Moody. Anyway, Langella and Moody, they pair up in order to go and hunt down these 11 chairs that are left.
Yes.
And it takes them all across the Soviet Union.
Yep.
You know, to find these chairs, these walnut chairs with the gold cushions.
Made by Hams of London.
Made by Hams of London. And along the way, the chairs get split up. They find all of them in a museum. And while they're scoping it out, the museum says, we don't need 11 chairs to show this particular era of furniture. Leave 4 of them and take the other 7.
Yep.
And so the 7 go away and they rip up those 4 staying, you know, through the night in the museum and hiding. They're not there. They track down the other 7, and one of them is kind of taken away,
separated
out, and ends up at a train station where they lose it, and the other six are going with a troop, an acting troupe on a riverboat, I think, kind of thing. So they con their way onto the boat. They get through three of the chairs before they're found out, because Ron Moody's character is inept at everything.
Yes.
You know, he was a noble. He didn't have to be good at anything because he had money. Mm-hmm. And so it made sense that he was just this impoverished bureaucrat in a small village at the beginning of this, because all he had to do was stamp things.
Yep.
You know? And so they're kicked off the boat. And they've got to find these other three chairs. They know where it's going, so they get on a train, and they get... All of these things happen, and it's this big comedy of errors along with his son. And while they're doing this, there's Dom DeLuise's father, Fyodor, who is also searching out these chairs, and it's just madcap nonsense.
It is. It's almost
like watching... It's a much shorter, you know, mad world.
Yes.
You know, with a smaller cast and... but it comes to... And they get, you know, all these different chairs, and they eventually find them. Spoiler alert, they don't find the jewels.
Nope.
The movie ends having just found the last chair and breaking into it and realizing... They're not there. The jewels had been found 4 months earlier. And the jewels were then sold in order to build a recreation room.
Yep.
For the railway workers. Which just completely demoralizes both of these con men now. Because they're both con men at this point. And as they're getting ready to go their separate ways in a desperate attempt. Because Ippolit, Ron Moody's character... He is bad at everything.
Yes.
You know, he is constantly being helped at every turn in every way. Engages one of the cons that they did of him faking an epileptic seizure in order to get the crowd around to throw coins at him so that they'd have a little money to eat.
Yeah.
And Ostap, Frank Langella's character, just kind of joins in and is like, I guess the partnership's still on. It's a very uplifting ending.
Yes.
So what was your response to it? I mean, this is very different from the Mel Brooks stuff that we watched in the 80s and 90s.
This is very true. So I've owned this movie for years now, but never watched it. It came as part of a set, and I'd seen all the other ones, but for some reason, I never got around to watching this one. Mm-hmm. And then it just became tradition to not watch it.
You know, I could watch The 12 Chairs, or I could watch Robin Hood Men in Tights again. One of them has Dave Chappelle.
Excuse me, bad guys.
I have got to get pumped up. I need some air. Got to get pumped. That's the line. Somebody was going to write in the comments, like, we never get comments. That would be the time we get comments like, guys, you got to.
I'll edit that out so we just say the good one.
Don't bother. That's less fun.
Well, I subscribe to the Darren method of editing, so, you know.
Well, it lends credence to us if we mess up and then fix it.
Yeah. I enjoyed it.
So, Melvin Kaminsky's movies.
Don Bluth is an amazing director.
And he was so good as the father in this.
No, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. It is not your, quote, typical Mel Brooks movie. This is his second film.
Second film, after The Producers.
Which, again, is not quite a typical...
It's not what we expected growing up with Spaceballs.
Yes. Really, starting at Blazing Saddles, that's when it's like, okay, this is a Mel Brooks movie.
Mm-hmm.
This takes the world and really turns it on its ear and makes it absurd. This is taking a situation and just kind of cocking it and making fun of it. But you see elements of what would become a Mel Brooks film.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. And That being said, it is still an enjoyable film. It is more serious than his other films, but it is still a comedy. And I laughed all the way through.
This is one of those movies where if you watch it expecting the Young Frankensteins and the History of the World Part 1s, if you watch it expecting that, you're going to be a little bit put off.
Yes.
This is, it holds very tightly to its Russian roots of it. You know, from the architecture to just the style of filmmaking. It's very plain. It's very stark. It doesn't mean that it's bad. The cinematography, I mean, we both said during the movie, is just, it's stunning.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, and I think that it epitomizes, especially early Mel Brooks' insistence on the story itself being funny. It's not all building up to a punchline.
No.
You know, you and I have both, we watched Some Like It Hot.
Yes.
You remember some?
Yeah.
Like that whole movie with all the comedy of errors of the two men dressed in drag was all really building up to that final scene on the boat.
Yes.
Where it's like, I'm a man.
Well, nobody's perfect.
You know, it's,
yeah.
This doesn't have that.
No.
You know, it ends lighthearted, but it's not a punchline at that point. It's just a, okay, these guys are going to be all right.
Yeah.
Even in Soviet Russia.
Yes.
I like that there's not really a Russian accent anywhere in it.
That's true. I think the only...
Mel Brooks.
Mel Brooks. And that's more of a checkoff from Star Trek.
Yeah.
It's a bad...
It's bad, and it's played more drunk than anything.
Yes.
You know, but the actors in it are amazing. It's a small cast. I mean, there's lots of crowd scenes and so forth, but in terms of your speaking cast, it's a very small cast.
Oh, yeah.
No romantic leads.
No.
No... What, two women with speaking roles in the whole thing, and I don't think they have names.
Well, one was the
neighbor, and one was the mom-in-law.
Yeah.
Oh, and then the engineer's wife.
Yeah.
Who, and then, again, doesn't have a name.
Yeah. And Moody's wife, she showed up briefly. They never explained what happened to her. In a flashback, she's there and has a line.
Small cast.
Oh, yeah.
And really not a long script. A lot of it is done in the imagery.
Yes.
Of what's going on. And so this is one of those that it's not a very often movie for me.
No.
It's kind of like To Be or Not to Be. You know, it's a good movie, but it's one that I'm just like, I gotta be in the right frame of mind to watch this.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. And really, you could say that about a few of the Mel Brooks stuff. You know, Life Stinks, Silent Movie is another one.
Yeah.
Silent Movie, because you got to pay attention to it.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, I can turn on Blazing Saddles anytime, anywhere, and just listen to it and know what's going on. Same with Young Frankenstein, Dracula Dead and Loving It.
Yeah.
Some of the movies that you have to watch, it's just like, I got to be in the right frame of mind to give it my attention.
Yes.
I read this book when I was in high school. My buddy Will had this on VHS, and I said, well, I've never heard of this. He's like, well, it's not one of his best. Well, okay. Well, I still want to watch it. So I took it home, watched it, and, you know, it says, you know, based on the book, you know, The 12 Chairs by Ilf and Petrov. Go to my local library, and they go, you want to read Russian? What? Well, I don't want it in Russian, but... And I had very good librarians that would, they never, ever said, you can't read that or not yet or anything. It's always just, all right, we'll get it. You know, the ending of that one, way dark.
I mean,
Russian literature is dark anyway.
You don't say.
Yeah, it turns out, having just hundreds upon hundreds of years of dark things happen, it makes things a little bit, cloudy. But in the book, Ippolit basically goes mad and kills Bender.
Oh no!
When they find the last chair, and then he tears it up, and there's nothing in it, and he basically has a mental breakdown. You know, at the end of it, this is a much more uplifting ending. Yes. They're still broke. They're still con men. They're still without a whole bunch of rubles and jewels.
Yes.
But they're going to be okay.
Yeah.
Really, the only ones who aren't okay in this are the mother-in-law.
She's dead.
And Father Fyodor, who we have no idea if he ever gets down from his mountain.
Yeah, he gets trapped on the top of like a peaked mountain.
Yeah.
With literally no way down.
There's no way. How did I get up here? That's my best Dom DeLuise.
It's a good Dom DeLuise.
Thank you. So where are you sitting? 12 chairs.
In a chair.
Yes. 12 chairs. What's your verdict?
Absolutely see it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Especially if you are a Mel Brooks fan.
Especially if you're Mel Brooks.
And also, especially if you are a film buff. Because this strikes me as one of those films that you would study in film school. Because, yes, it's a Mel Brooks film. Mm-hmm. And it could be studied on a lot of different levels. The cinematography, the storytelling, the comedic timing. There's a lot of aspects that one could learn from this film mm-hmm. if you were going to make a film. So absolutely, if you're a film buff, watch it. If you're a Mel Brooks fan, watch it. If you're in the mood for a story that is both lighthearted yet sad, to kind of put it bluntly, because there's no winners. Nobody wins in this movie. And you don't especially like any of the characters.
They are all pretty well horrible.
Yes.
Except maybe Mel Brooks' character, who's a drunk.
Yeah.
But he's not a bad guy.
No. So it's like, you don't really root for anybody to win, so when they don't, you don't feel bad, but it's a weird thing. But it's a good movie.
I agree. I think this is one of those good movies that you watch and you're just like, this is not what I was expecting from Mel Brooks, and that's okay.
Yes.
I still had a good time with it.
Absolutely.
And it's worth the time. It's an hour and a half. Go for it, you know? And I don't have anything else to say. I've got a lot of good things to say about it. It is a very well put together, well acted movie.
Yes.
With people who are eventually going to be, at the time they were already good actors and good comedians, and then they're going to build their careers even further.
Yep.
So you're seeing them early on.
Mm-hmm.
It's early Mel Brooks, but not early in his, it's early in his film career, but not early in his comedy career.
Yes.
And so he's right at that point where he's finding his film voice.
Yeah.
Early directorials kind of stuff. So, yeah, just do it. Do it. Go see it. Go watch it. It's available in places, I'm sure.
Yeah, it's a Mel Brooks film. You can pretty much find it anywhere.
You can probably find it. So I think that means it's your turn.
Okay, I think I got something.